Right, guys? I know the source is a little bit harder than previous year Chloe's, but it's okay, that happens sometime. Let's give one word of introduction. As we know in the right, we're not a Gemara-only yeshiva. We also believe in Chumash and Machshava and all kinds of other things. But part of being Jewishly knowledgeable is having some connection with Gemara. And there are different ways someone could connect. Sometimes it might be you'll find a philosophic aspect of certain Gemara, right, in a quest for meaning. Sometimes it'll have to do with practical halakha. So I'm going to raise a third possibility. Sometimes it'll be the sheer joy of the intellectual adventure. That could be part of Gemara also. Okay, just deeper analysis or conceptual thinking. That could be some way to connect. Let's see if that happens to some of us today. Okay, before we get there, I just give a little bit of background. Like any legal system, halakha needs a way of dealing with doubtful cases when I'm not sure what the reality is. And there are different factors that come into play. We could have a debate about money. We're not sure whose money it is. We can debate about a piece of meat. We're not sure if it's kosher or a treif. Let's just talk about a few methods halakha has to clarify the truth. What is considered the strongest piece of evidence usually in the halakhic system? Excellent, excellent. Well, two witnesses. Usually in a monetary case, how do you win the monetary case? I have two witnesses. What happens at a wedding? Two witnesses testify that they got married. Okay, so two witnesses is usually the ultimate in evidence. Okay, we're going to see that there's a rule called Eid Echa Nemen Bisurin. What does that mean? Let's say you come to my house for Shabbos lunch. I serve the challenge. You say, Rabbi, is that challenge kosher? I say, yes. You do not say, but Rabbi, you're only one witness, so I really can't eat the challenge. Right? What is Eid Echa Nemen Bisurin? One witness suffices when it comes to whether something is asur or mutar. So even though we need two witnesses to win a monetary case, we need two witnesses to testify about a marriage. One witness suffices for asur mutar. One important thing to realize also, guys, when you say Eid Echa Nemen Bisurin, does it matter what the gender or sex of that witness is? No. Men and women are equally believed in the world of Eid Echa Nemen Bisurin. Okay? Jake, you happy about that? Excellent. Okay. Next, we're going to we have to have a new list, the five biggest feminists in the yeshiva. Okay. So now, okay, now we have that. Now, what if we don't have testimony? So let's just talk about a couple other categories. Another kind of something called a rove. What would rove simply mean? You're not sure what happened. Follow what is the majority, most likely. Let's talk about a case. Let us say I am in Beverly Wood. I'm Noah Kest. And I'm walking down Pico Robertson. And I find a piece of pizza lying in the street. I might be allowed to assume that the pizza's kosher. Why? Because there are 9 kosher pizza stores in that area and only 1 treif one. So the likelihood is that the pizza, right? Correct, Norquist?
True.
So the correct likelihood is that the pizza came from a kosher store. That's a rove. Conversely, if I am Noah Best and I'm walking down Dempster Avenue and I find, where's Noah Best? And I find a piece of pizza and there's 9 treif stores and all there is slice of life. There's only 1 kosher place, correct? Okay, so I'd probably assume that the pizza is, okay, that's my knowledge of America. I know 2 things about every state of America. Where kosher food is and where the bookstores are. That's what I can tell you that. Okay, so then I'd be assumed that the piece of pizza is treif. Right, so that seems to be being Noah Best and Noah Kest. From that K to B, right? K stands for kosher. You can understand the pizza's kosher. But in Noah Best case, you'd assume it's treif. Yes?
In Noah Best case, though, is
that
only
the Diyeva
or is that only
the Diyeva? It is no, it's not in the sense that you put the piece of pizza there. But when you find the piece of pizza, you would be allowed to assume that it's kosher. Yeah. It's a Gemara and Pesach. Yes. Okay, that's a very interesting question, but let's leave it aside for now. Okay, so we got 8 of, yeah. Jordan, good. Wait, you're upset I didn't use like a Boca Raton example?
I'm not. I'm from Boca.
Okay, there you go. So we got 8 dim, we've got 8 echa, we've got rove. Another factor is something called chazaka. What's chazaka? So often, if you don't know what to do and you have no evidence, what might be a thing for a legal system to say? Let's assume things stayed the way they were. There's a certain force to status quo. It's like the burden of proof is someone wants to say the status quo has shifted. In monetary law, this is very powerfully said. Anyone with the rule in monetary law? Famous sentence? Excellent. Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. If I'm trying to extract money from you, alav haraya, the burden of proof is upon me. But that could be in a treif kosher situation also. Let's say I have let's talk about 3 cases where there's a chazak of iser, a chazak of heter, and no chazaka. Okay, in my case, the piece of pizza, the Noah Best, Noah Kest case, there's no chazaka, right? the first time I found this piece of pizza, I had no idea if it was asr or mutar. So there's no chazaka in that case. Let's say I have produce that's not tithed. And there's a doubt, was it tithed or not? So then there was a chazaka of isur, because till now, its status has been untithed produce. So you might need more evidence to overcome a cheskat isur. There could also be a cheskat heter. I have a bottle of wine, I know it's kosher, and now I'm not sure, did some pagan use it for a pagan libation offering? Right, so there I'm working off a cheskat heter. Okay, so there's a status quo as for say in halacha. Okay, we're one last one, guys, we're good. This is like basic Judaism for Gemara. Okay, you've got Edim, Erechon, and Bisurin, Chazaka, and Rove. And you might ask, there might be interesting test cases, what happens when some of these factors clash with each other? You could easily imagine, who's the champion, right? The middleweight division, Rove against Chazaka. Who will win in such a clash?
Well, Rove's got.
Okay, what?
Rove's got numbers advantage.
Okay, that's true. But Chazaka has status quo advantage. Okay. Okay, so now let's go to one last factor. There is something called a migo. Now, migo is as follows. Let us say there are two claims I could make. And one is a really easy, believable winner claim, and one is a more torturous, difficult claim, harder to believe. And I make the hard to believe claim. Paradoxically, I get extra believability. Why do I get believability there? When I say weird claim B, when I could have said easy claim A, what's the argument? Someone who's a liar would have said easy claim A. So by taking the weirder claim, that gives me believability. Like, let's say I come to school one day and the teacher says, why didn't you do your homework? I say, because the dog ate it. Right? But I easily could have said that, what's an easy winner claim? What's a winner claim when I do the homework? I easily could have said, I actually wasn't there the day before. I missed the assignment. I could have said I missed the assignment because I wasn't there, but I said the dog ate it. So the teacher might give me more believability because if I wanted to lie, I would have just said, I didn't know about it because I wasn't there, and I chose to say this weird claim, the dog ate it. That gives me believability. That is called amigo. Why is it called amigo? And what the word amigo means? Anybody know? Nope. Okay, I'll give you a hint, guys. All Shana Bet's ineligible for this. We say the word amigo in a zemer we sing on Shabbat. Can anyone tell me which zemer? Anybody? Liturgy Bluestini, you know? No? Anybody? We say it in Zemmer, we sing. Migo, okay, Zmiro Gelfen, what do you say? Okay, in the middle of Curry Bone, we say, V'apek yat ameich migo galuta. What does it mean? Okay, migo means mitoch. Apek yat ameich, you'll take out your nation. Migo galuta, mitoch ha galuta. Why is a migo called a migo? It means mitoch, since you could have said a different claim, you have believability in this claim. Okay, now you guys ready? You're up to like a little subtle piece of reasoning, or you're not up to it? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, every time I teach Migo, people ask the following question. And it's very interesting why it's not a good question. Okay, because it sounds like a killer question. People always say Migo is a terrible idea. Why is Migo a terrible idea? Because once a person who's a liar reads the Gemara and discovers there's a concept called Migo, they will be able to abuse it. They'll constantly make lousy claims and we'll believe them because amigo. Everyone understand what the critique is?
Yeah.
Every time I teach Migo, someone says Migo's a terrible idea. It's just asking for abuse. It's asking to be misused. Did anyone know why it's not true actually? Migo is not at all going to help a liar. Can anyone figure it out? Maybe it's not so clear. Yeah, Joe. For a very simple reason, guys. How does Migo work? Let's say I'm trying to get $100. I could win it by making easy claim A, and I choose to make weird claim B. So what are you going to tell me? Because I'm a liar and learned the Gemara, I know to make weird claim B, and that's an unfair advantage. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Let's say I hadn't learned the Gemara, what would I have done? I simply would have made claim A. B never gives you more believability than A. We're not helping fabricators. Right, someone who did. If you didn't win the Gemara, you make A and win. Now, if you win the Gemara, you'll make B and win. But that does not. The liar is no better off than he was before. There's still no incentive to specifically say. Does everyone understand that? If you understand that, it's okay. Ben.
No, sorry. What are A and B?
Okay. Let us say. I'll try the following case. Let's say you claim that you lent me $100. It's easier for me to say I didn't borrow the $100. That would be easier. But I choose to say, I did borrow, but I paid it back. Okay? For the, just the sake of argument, I admit you could quibble with that. Let's assume that's amigo. So you're saying, but now that I learned the Gemara, I will say I borrowed and paid it back. Right. But if I hadn't learned the Gemara, I would have lied and said, I never borrowed. So I'm not. It's not advantageous to the liar. The liar's not benefited at all by introducing this concept of amigo. Okay? Guys, if you didn't understand that, it's okay. But I had a debate with my son about this. He claims there's a Gemara Kesuvos that my answer doesn't work for, but I'm not sure what he's talking about. But okay. But in any case, but I think that's why amigo's not, No, but there's still no benefit for the liar. It's true, Migo gives the believability for B. But the liars don't benefit because the liar could have just said, hey.
But isn't the benefit the believability itself?
Yes.
Because we're not as likely to believe.
No, but, okay, let me clarify. You only have Migo for B if A was a winning claim. So you could, any liar could have just won by saying A. Okay, understand? Okay, let's go to the Gemara now, guys. Now, we're going to see a Migo-type idea, but it's not going to be a classic Migo. What does our Gemara say? I come and testify that Aaron's dad left money in a box, but it belongs to a third party. Do you understand the case? Your dad left money in a box, but it belongs to a third party. What does the Gemara say? If the money is in Aaron's house, what's the halacha? I'm not believed. Namely, when Aaron digs up the money, he'd be allowed
to
keep it. But if I say, Aaron, your dad left money in a field, and it belongs to a third party, and we find money there, then I'm believed. What's the difference between the two cases? Yeah, Shmuel?
The one in the house is... the one in the field would be... What, you wouldn't even have to tell him.
Exactly. What's the most terminology for that? The field is a case of? Biyado. What does biyado mean? I'm in control. And if you think about it, it's like amigo. Let's say I'm a liar. What should I have done? Why'd I talk to Aaron? It's in the field. It's public property. I could just go there, take the cash. If I really want to get it to the third party, I'll give it to the third party. So there I get extra believability because of biyado. In the house case, it's not in my control. I can't just walk in this house whenever I want. So I'm there. I am not believed. Okay, everyone agrees with this kind of Migo-like? A normal Migo is claim A and claim B. Here it's not so much claim A and claim B, but rather claim B as opposed to action A. But let's just sum up for 1 second. What is it? We now have a new halachic phenomena. What gives me believability? The fact that I'm in control of the situation. What's our first idea? Why does biyado give you believability? Biyado is a form of migo. Haven't got it? We're going to see three possibilities. Possibility one on the board. Why does biyado work? Biyado is a form of migo. Okay, here's the question. Jordan.
What if he's actually telling the truth about the father hiding something in the house?
He might be, but we have to make the best decision we can. No one's perfect. Judge can only do the best they can. It's an important point, actually, that Jordan's raising. Sometimes people like have a critique that the truth won't always win. Guys, in every system, the truth won't always win. There's no foolproof system. Like, humanity can always lie and cheat in various ways. But we do the best we can. Okay?
That's not like... The situation that we're discussing is not like the... that's not plan A. Plan A is that the father writes himself, and it's like silent as witnesses, and
look, we'd always like to have the most evidence possible, but life is often about groping in the dark.
I don't have to hide money in my house.
The best would be that you would leave ample documentation where the money is. Life's not always like that. Okay, well, good. Have we got position one on the board? Okay, excellent. Let us go to Tosfot. Tosfot has a question. I think you guys think for a second, you will get the answer. Kol she'ein biyado, what emerges from our Gemara? That when I'm not in control, I am not believe, namely the case where the money was in the house. Says Tosfot, Lek lememer delehemni b'migo. Wait, don't say he should have a more classical migo. Why should he have a classic migo? Di bai shatik. What could I have done? Let's say I really don't want Aaron to get the money. I could have just sat home and been quiet. He doesn't know where his dad hid the money. So I have a migo even in the case when the money's in house. Who could tell me, by the way, that's a really lousy Migo? Tosfos thought of this also. Why is that not a good Migo? Yes, Ben?
Either way, he doesn't get the money.
Excellent. Migo means I'm trying to accomplish A, and I have an easier way to accomplish it. It's true if I'm quiet, Aaron doesn't get the money. But what am I trying to accomplish, apparently? Not just prevent Aaron from getting the money, but getting the money to the third party. So silence will not accomplish that. That's a bad Migo. That's exactly what Tosfos says. Right, the malu shake. Excuse me, the ains amigo, the shatek manchiatem velo yavo lidei ploni. Oh, let's do the tangent just for 1 second, guys. What's Ploni in Gemara?
So-and-so.
Ploni is John Doe. Okay, now, who can tell me? Nothing's exciting, guys. We'll move away from the liturgy experts to the biblical experts. Where the word Ploni appears in Tanakh? Don't call it out. Okay, Benji. Excellent. Megillat Rut. Very good. Benji's going to be on too many lists. I'm not going to do this because Benji doesn't like when I praise him. I do it anyway. Benji's already on 3 lists, guys. Okay, he's on the list or most likely to volunteer for Chesed when asked. Okay, on that list is also Sam Finkel and Max Helfand. Remarkably enough, two of the guys are from the metropolitan area, and they're still nice, really amazing. Okay, so, what? Yeah, it's shocking. Okay, what else has Benji done? Oh, and also Mo Smiley Chanov, guys. Okay, Benji's on the list with Noah Kess. Okay, you know, Kess on the Smiley Chanov guy list. Noah Kess used to be on the Wild Beard list, but not anymore. Okay, now that's just Isaac Saltz and Dan Raker. Okay, Akiva Gaskin used to be the star, but he's off the list also. Okay, so here we go. Benji, good. So in Megillat Rut, okay, you guys remember Megillat Rut? Okay, what happens in Megillat Rut? Somebody has to marry Rut. Very interesting, because it seems like it's almost Yibum-like, but it's not so Yibum-like, because Yibum is normally only the brother. And now it's almost any relative. Interesting Ramban about that. Who's the first candidate to marry Rut? A man named Ploni Almoni. But he doesn't want to do it at the end, and therefore, who does it? Boaz. Excellent. Excellent. Ben, you're good. You'll be on Tanakh list also, Ben. Ben, you're also on a lot of lists. You and Benji are also on the list of being on the most lists. Okay.
We're also on the Ben list.
Okay, next. Okay, we're good? Okay, now let's... So we have one idea. What's Biado? Biado is a form of Migo. Okay? Don't worry, Zach. I'll tell you later. You're on two lists also, Zach. Okay? I'll tell you later in chair. When guys are getting bored, I'll tell you what list you're on. Okay, let's go to the Gemara and get them. Okay, Gemara and get them. Hamevi get memdina rayam. Someone brings a get from across the ocean, right? The husband and wife don't have to be the same room for a get to be delivered. If he's on a trip and whatever, they're in a marital dispute, he could send the get with a shliach. Sarach shiomar b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam. But what does the shliach have to say? I saw this get being written. Good word to know. And Mahdi goes, by the way, they tell you in the store they need your khatima. What's your khatima? Your signature. You have to say, I saw it written, I saw it signed. I mean, two witnesses will sign on the bottom of the get. Now, why would you make the shliach say, b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam? It must be because you're afraid that the get was somehow not done properly, right? So what are we afraid of? So now Rabba and Rabba have a debate. But I once said that Gemara should not allow Rabba and Rabba to have debates because it's too confusing. Like Rabba Papa should not be allowed to argue with Rabba Puppy, but the Gemara does not follow my rule. Does not follow my rule. Okay? Here we go. Extra credit if you find out where in Shas there's a Rabba Papa, Rabba Puppy debate. There is one. Okay. My Tama, why do you need this? Rabba Marlefish ain't Bakian Lishma. What's to be a Bakian something? Excellent. Apparently a get is not something you like buy a form off the wall. You have to write it for a particular woman, a particular couple. So what are we afraid of? Maybe it wasn't written properly. So according to Rabba, what's the shliach essentially testifying to? I saw this get and it was written properly. Excellent. Rabba Marlefish ain't Eid Mitzvah in the Kaimo. Okay, this is a different case, guys. What if the husband says the get was forged? How do we overcome his claim? Well, if we say two witnesses signed it, they only signed it because they know that it wasn't forged. But think about it. If the get came from Medinat Hayam, what would be more difficult to do?
Verify the witnesses.
Excellent, Ben. So we say maybe what you're really testifying to is that the witnesses are authentic. You haven't got the debate? So either the shliach is testifying get was written properly, or they're testifying that it was signed properly. In a certain sense, one is on the phrase b'fanei nechtav, and the other is on the phrase b'fanei nechtav. Okay, next. Let's keep going. What's the Gemara's question? Wait, shouldn't you need, in the world of testimony in halacha, what do you need?
Two witnesses.
Okay, what's the answer? Eidecha nemen b'isurin. What does the Gemara claim? Testifying about the validity of a get is like testifying about the validity of the meat. So therefore, it's okay. Does that sound right or not right based on what we've said so far? Sounds good or no? Yeah, Mashi?
Isn't he testifying of the fact that there are two witnesses already
signed? Okay. Ah, okay. It's interesting. It's one witness setting up a two in this case. That's a very interesting point, Maji. Anybody else have a reason why this might be a case we should allow one or not allow one? Ben?
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's preventing, if it's an overseas case, a witness coming to the wife and saying, like, look, here's a get, I saw him sign it, and he's the only witness. He could be a fraudulent case. He could be a fraud and just give her a get.
Correct. Everybody could lie. Two witnesses could lie also.
then it's just only one person being shalitach. In the case of overseas, too, if he gives a divorce now.
Okay, well, in a certain sense, that's going to be Gemara's next objection. Okay? So hang in there. Okay, Maisha, your question is an important point. I'll leave it aside for now. Okay, here we go. So Gemara's going to say that shouldn't work. When do we say Nechemisurin? I have a piece of something. Suffolk shell, guys, not chalav, guys, it's chalav. Suffolk shell chalav, Suffolk shell shuman. Guys, when you have an animal, right, some fat is prohibited, but not all fat of the animal is, right? You have a nice piece of steak and there's fat on the side. That is the kosher fat. If you want, you could eat it. Okay? You know, when I was young, when I believe it was fat on the side of the steak, I used to always ask my mother about it. She said, no, it's not fat, it's gristle. I have no idea what that means. But apparently I was able to eat it at that point. But no, not all fat is usher. Chalev is usher fat. Shuman is mutter fat. So in that case, AF is indeed believed. But when's that true? Delo it's chazik isura. What's the claim? There's no status quo. The first time I saw this piece of meat, I was already in turmoil. I was already in doubt. Abul hakla it's chazik isura de shadish. What's the claim about this woman? She's not neutral. She has a status quo. What's her status quo? That she's married. Maybe Eid Echad can't beat a Chazaka. Eid Echad only works when there's no Chazaka. Or, not only that, the Gemara seems to conflate two reasons here, by the way. Have a Dover Sheba Erba. Vein Dover Sheba Erba Pachot Mishnayim. What's the claim? Yeah, this is not a piece of meat. This is a marriage. Marriage is serious stuff in Judaism. Marriage requires two witnesses. Marital status requires two witnesses. So for double reasons, we shouldn't really allow the Eid Echad to work here. Says the Gemara, Rov Bikine. Now the other factor comes in. What would Rov Bikine mean? Not so many ignoramuses spend their free time writing Gittin. Usually, if you're already writing a get, that's because you know what you're doing. So notice all the factors that work here. We said Eid Echad can't beat Chazaka and Darvish Verba, but the Eid Echad has it now, has what on his side? He's got a Rov on his side. That's why it works. Okay, everyone good so far? Mark G, you good? Mark G's also on this my list, by the way. Okay? We're good. Okay, and Zach is on two lists. Zach is most likely to stay up watching a Mets game, and most likely to be caught in his spare time at a Chazanut convention. Okay, those are his two lists. Okay, let us go to... Sorry, Josh Bluestein, you're on that list also. Okay, let us go to Rashi and Gid. Okay, Rashi and Gid. Okay, here we go. Now, we just had this rule called Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. Why should there be a rule called Eid Echad and Bisurin? Where did it come from? Okay, so I'm going to go to the second side, please. We'll see a very important debate between Rashi and Tosafot. How do we know that? If in a monetary law we need two witnesses, if in marriage law we need two witnesses, where did this rule come, Eid Echad Neman Bisurin? So look at the third line of Rashi. Umeshan Eid Echad Bisurin, Shahar Mina Tor Kol Echad Mishrael, Al Hafrasha Truma, Val Hashchita, Val Nikor Ged, Val Chelev. It's not a pasuk. It's just like, look at life. How does life work? You're allowed to go to somebody's house and eat their food. Apparently, there must be a rule called Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. I mean, Rashi says, I don't have a pasuk for it. I just look at Jewish life. That's how it works. You can go to somebody's house and eat because they're believed. What are Rashi's example? Look at the examples carefully, guys. They're going to matter. Hafrasha Truma. If I'm in the land of Israel and you eat my fruit, apparently you're relying on my testimony that the fruit has been tithed. Shechita. If you're eating my meat, you're apparently relying on my testimony that there was a kosher shechita on this meat. Okay? Nikor Hagid, what's that about? Someone has removed the Gidon Hashem. So according to Rashi, what's the source of Eid Echad Bisurin? That you're believed in my house about, you believe me about shechita, truma, Nikor Hagid, etc. Haven't got the rule? Okay, let's go to Tosafot now. Now things are going to start to warm up here. Okay, here we go. Eid Echad says Tosafot. Pirsha Kudrish Shari Amina Torah Klech Lechad Al Afrasha Chum V'Shchita V'Nigid V'Chelev V'Lo Hayalo L'Haskira Afrasha Chum V'Shchita. What does Tosafot say? Rashi, that was a bad list. You should not have mentioned Truma or Shchita. They're not examples of Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. Why not? Ah, D'Bahanu Neman Avagav D'Tchazek Isura. Excellent point. If you look at Gidin Daf Bet, what seems to be the truth about Eid Echad Bisurin? It only works in a neutral scenario. It does not work to overcome a... Right? Isn't that what the Gemara said? Eid Echad Bisurin cannot overcome Cheskat Isur. If we know the woman's married, it can't change that status quo. What should be true about every Shechita and every Truma case? Every Shechita and every Truma case, the status quo is that it was Aser. It was Aser until you did a kosher Shechita. It was Aser until you tied the produce. So that can't be the paradigm case because it wouldn't be true. Eid Echad Bisurin can overcome a cheskat Isur. In fact, why you believed about Truma, let's keep going to us. Misham, the biyado litaknam. Biyado came back. Why in my house am I believed that I tithed it? Not because of Einech and Bisur, but because of biyado. What would biyado mean in our first understanding? What's the biyado argument? I could just as easily, why should I lie about it? I could simply tithe it. Right? So since I'm in control, since I could do it, that gives me believability. But what's Tosa's basic point? Biyado is a different category of believability than Eidech HaNeman. Things are getting a little more complex. I'm shoving it down again. What's the source of Eidech HaNeman for Rashi? You could eat at my house. What are some examples? Truma and Shechita. What does Tosa claim? Those are terrible examples. Because that's not based, how does Tosa know it's not based on Eidech and Bisurin? How does Tosa know? Let's go, guys. How does Tosa know it's not based on Eidech and Bisurin? Yoni Friedman, you know? Because Eidech and Bisurin can't overcome a Cheskat Isur. So what is Tosa think the believability is based on there? The factor of the other, that I'm in control. Okay? See, I'm losing some of you here. Okay, Dino Ferber, what are you reading? What do you got there? No, what is it? That's okay. I just don't know. What are you reading? Okay. But there's an eighth habit of highly effective people. They don't read books to ensure quote. Okay. Okay, here we go. So let's go to... Okay, let us go to Tosa now. Okay? No, it's okay. No, you should still read. You're just not a highly effective person. Okay. Okay. Let's go. Okay. Let's go on now and... let's go on now in Tosa. Okay. Yeah, Mark. Okay, so Tosfot is going to argue, guys, now that... Okay, you're a good guy, don't you? Okay, Tosfot is going to argue now that there's a different source to Eidech HaNeman Bisurin. Okay, let's go further down in Tosfot. Im Tomer, I'm in the fifth line, Uminol and Eidech HaNeman Bisurin. You guys are going to love this. O.J. Calvin, another great moment for women in Judaism. V'yeshon v'yalfina minida t'darshin imperaka amadir v'safer l'alatzma. Notice Tosa is very different than Rashi. Rashi said, what's the source of Eidech and Bisurin? Jewish life, you won't eat at my house. According to Tosa, no, we got a pasuk. What happens when a woman gets her period? She counts and tells us when her period is over. Apparently, Halacha believes the woman, a single woman's voice. So that is the source, right? The whole rule of Eidech and Bisurin actually comes from a woman's testimony. If she's able to testify about her period, that means there's a halachic rule called Eidech HaNeman Bisurin. Great. There you go. So now Tosa has a problem. V'im tomar im kein afilu tchazek isura. Uh-oh. Wait. Tosa is insisting that Eidech and Bisurin doesn't work if it's trying to overcome a cheskat isur. But Tosa says, your paradigmatic case is actually a case of cheskat isur. She, when she gets her period, her status quo is that she's anida. She's trying to change that status quo by testifying that her period's over. But that means that is a cheskat isur. Tosa's whole critique of Rashi was, Rashi, your case is a case of cheskat isur. Tosa's paradigmatic case is a case of cheskat isur. So let's see the answer. Says Tosa, v'yesh lomar, de'eina b'cheskat shetei roa kol sha'a, u'kish'avra shiva tor memela v'lo itchazik isur. Now, we're all going into interesting territory. What does Tosa want to argue? Meaning, women, thank God, do not have their period forever. It's naturally going to happen that at some point the period comes to an end. What does Tosa seem to argue? Somehow that, how do you guys phrase it? That kind of, what does that nullify? You say it's sharp, guys? Maybe that nullifies Chazaka. Maybe when is the status quo powerful? If it doesn't naturally come to, when a woman's married, we don't say, oh, the natural ending of marriage is divorce. No, her status quo is she's married. But maybe if there's a natural end you can anticipate, that could somehow weaken the cheskat isur. So Tosa says, I could use nida as the source for Eidech HaNeman Bisurin, and don't ask me a question that it's cheskat isur, because it's going to come to an end naturally. Yeah. Isaac Schultz.
I'll grant that this case is natural per se, but can we assume that, I don't know, the robe of Bnei Yisrael are tithing, and therefore eventually Truma is going to be tithed?
No, but if you did that, you wouldn't have to do chazaka. You could just call it rove, as it were. You want to like rove, chazaka built on a rove? What do you mean?
The case earlier was that you can't have, the truma is, you can't be trusted for...
Okay, so I'll say it differently, Isaac. Maybe there's a different, that's very good, Isaac. But maybe, I have a good part for you guys. Okay, ready, guys? Wake up, Josh Boosting. We do a tangent, he's going to like, wake him up. Okay. Okay. Josh, listen to this. Okay, good intellectual history. Okay? Guy, it's a very interesting difference between science and human society. We're great, Max, this is yours. We're great at producing, at predicting what's going to happen scientifically. We stink at predicting what human society is going to do in the future. You say it by I'll give you Jewish communal examples and general examples. Okay, two general examples from world history. Like, when I was a kid, okay, you can ask Mr. Charlotte, in the 1970s, like, America had this Cold War with Russia. We thought we might lose. No one had predicted, oh, don't worry, in a few years, the Soviet Union is simply going to crumble. It's going to disintegrate. That was not on anybody's radar. How many people predicted the Arab Spring? You know, all these Arab countries are going to have these inner rebellions. Who predicted that? Right? We're not good at predicting the future. I'll give you another example to cheer everybody up. You look at the 1950s Jewish sociologists, what's the assumption about orthodoxy? It's going to die. Okay? The future is a conservative movement. Now all the contemporary articles about the demise of conservative movements. One last example. Okay, famous sociologist of religion. Okay. Oh, yeah. But luckily it survived long enough to teach you how to speak Hebrew. Excellent. Okay. Okay, one last example. Okay, there's a famous sociologist of religion named Peter Berger. All the sociologists of religion, what was their argument? In modernity, religion's going to die. The more science discovers, the more less people will be religious. Okay, and what did we discover as the 20th century came to a conclusion? It's just not true. Right? Religion is still a pretty influential force in the world. It's not true that it's dying. And to give him credit, Berger actually got up once and wrote that he was wrong. We just blew it. He said all the sociologists of religion blew it. So the point I'm trying to make is we're good at predicting what the birds and the mountains are going to do. We're pretty lousy at predicting what human society is going to do. So here's now that's interesting. But why is it relevant to Isaac Solzhenitsyn's point? Isaac, maybe, I'll tell you right now, maybe it's only true if it's going to naturally come to an end without human activity. Anything that's dependent on human activity is, by definition, more volatile than the natural order. So I could argue a woman's period is going to naturally come to an end. What people are going to do, that, by definition, is more shifty. Yeah, Nimrod. That's a good question. That's an excellent question. I'm going to duck for now. Excellent question. That's a strong question on Tesla. Okay, can I understand Nimrod's question? Yeah. A woman only becomes tahor and mutter to her husband, not when her period comes to them, when she also goes to the mikvah. So it's not true that her status is going to naturally change. Excellent question, Nimrod. Excellent question. Good question, right, Rafi? Okay, good. All right, guys, we're good so far? Okay, so what do we have so far? We have Biyado, could be Migo. We've got Rashi's source, Feinechem Yisurin, and the Tosfos' critique of Rashi's source, and we've got the Tosfos' position, Eidechem Yisurin. Okay, two more theories, guys. Let's go to the Rush. Says the Rush. Okay, called over should be yado shel adam. If it's biyado, afilu it's chaza keteri neimen echad letame. What's the claim? Biyado is powerful. Biyado can overcome even. What can biyado overcome? Chazaka. Excellent. Skip to the fourth line. V'lav mitama di bay mitamelu. Ah, there's the key line, guys. What's lav mitama? It's not because of. I could be mitame. I mean, what's he denying? Biyado is not a form of. Again, what's the Migo? Why would I be believed? I'm believed because I could have brought it about by doing it. If I say your stuff's tame, why am I believed? Because I could have been mitame it. What's this line saying? Lav mitame dibay mitamelu. That's not the reason. So when I'm believed, let me clarify. There's a case in Gittin where I have your stuff, and I'm holding your stuff, and I testify that it's tame. Says the Gemara, I'm believed. Why am I believed? Biyado, I could have been mitamir. Says Tosro, says the Rush, it's not because of that. That's not why Biyado's believed. How does he know that? Very sharp language. Di taminu bai shlume. What's bai shlume? What does bai mean? Keyword, guys. I would need lishlume. Ah. Let's say I am in control, but if I'm mitamir your stuff, I would have to pay you back. Whereas if I testify that somebody else was mitamir your stuff, I don't have to pay you back. So it's not a good Migo. Right? Any case, right? What's Migo? B is a bad claim, and I could have made A. But what about a case where B is advantageous? If B is advantageous, by definition, I don't have Migo. So the Rush says Biyado can't be based on Migo. What's Biyado based on? Skip to the last line. Okay, some of you are going to love this, some of you won't. El Kilin should Biyado Latakno. Have A? Beige. What's the Rush want to claim, guys? So one of you, Rafi, went and said this almost naturally. He said to me, maybe we don't know what to do. What should we assume? Whoever's the owner of an item gets to tell us what its status is. Maybe you're in charge. It's your item. We'll rely on you. So maybe there's some idea you get a certain amount of power over an item by being the owner. What's the claim now? Even if I'm not the owner in the sense of, like, in the books, I'm the monetary owner, control is a form of ownership. Why does Biyadu give you believability? Because you are the de facto, as it were, owner of the item. Everyone see the difference now? We now have two theories, right? Theory one till now is that Biyadu was a form of Migo, the psychological evaluation, you're not lying. Now the Rush claims that's not what it is. Biyadu is a form of control, and that gives you the right to determine the destiny of the quasi-ownership. You can determine the destiny of the item. Okay, well, good so far, guys? Okay, we're getting to the best for right now. Before we get to the best for, I have to introduce somebody, though. Okay. There's a famous sefer on Choshen Mishpat called the Ktzot HaChoshen. Anyone ever heard it before? The Ktzos? You might know that in many yeshiva, they like to learn the babas, because there's a sense that monetary law is somehow the richest for conceptual analysis. And a famous conceptual sefer is called the Ktzot HaChoshen by Aryeh Heller. And here, even though I'm running out of time, I have to tell you a great story. This is a really good story. Okay, when I was 18 years old, I had a teacher who learned in the Mir. And he quoted his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, a very well-known Rashid from the Mir, who wrote a sefer called Sichas Musar. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says there are four pieces of the Ktzos you need to know not to be Amaretz, not to be Negramis. Okay, but my Rebbe did not say what the four were. So I spent the next 20 years wondering if I was an Amaretz or not. I was wondering if I was going to have to learn the whole Ktzos just to make sure that I wasn't. So my wife and I once went to a bar mitzvah in Chashmonaim. I have a first cousin in Chashmonaim. And we picked up a Haredi guy on the side of the road to give him a tramp back to Yerushalayim. And what do you talk to a crazy guy about? So I said, I couldn't say like how the Met's doing. So I said, what are you learning in yeshiva? So the guy said, I'm learning, I know Baba Basra. So I said, oh, Baba Basra, you probably learn a lot of ksos. What's your favorite ksos? So I guess you don't really say what's your favorite ksos in the crazy world. So he said, I can't really answer that question. But my Rebbe did tell me there are four ksos you need to know not to be Amaretz. So I started to get excited. So I said, did he tell you what they are? And he said, yes. So I said, wait, let me guess. So I'm sitting here trying to guess what they are. I got the first one right away, by the way. I went 1 for 4. Not so great. And, okay. It's like, a bad hitting first baseman, 250. Okay. But obviously, it's not like a scientific truth, what are the four most important ksosis. But I went 1 for 4. So I spent the whole Shabbos telling everybody in my community about this story. I'm kind of wondering if he spent the whole Shabbos saying, this Tatilu Mi guy picked me up in the car, he told him in the mirror, and he wanted to guess the four famous ksosis. He only went 1 for 4. But so I'm not sure if that happened or not. But I will say, I once told the story, and a student of mine named Ben Drews wanted to learn all four with me. So we spent our chavruta, we learned the four ksoses, and I wrote him a little certificate that, I just glad to declare that Ben Drews is not Amaretz. He still has it. Okay, if anyone wants, I'll give you the same deal, guys. If you learn the four ksoses with me, I'll write you that certificate. Okay, so the Ktzot HaChoshen has a separate, yeah.
Are you offering to teach the four that you thought, or the four that the Haredi guy
thought? I'll go with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. I'll teach the four that he thought. Okay, if you want, I'll tell you which four I like also. Okay. That's right. I should teach seven and invite Yitzchak Blau and Ruchaim Shulevitz that you're not Amaretz. Okay, here we go. Let's go to so the Ksos has another sefer. Sorry, guys, I have to pronounce yeshiva. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in Sephardi. Called the Shev Shmeitza. Okay, the Shev Shmeitza is essays on these topics: Chazaka and Rov and like. He's gonna have one last idea. You guys are gonna love. Okay, let's just remember Tosef's critique. What was Tosef's critique of Rashi? You can't use Truma. Or Truma or Shechita as the paradigm for Yedech and Misurin. Why not again, remember guys? Because it's a Chezkad Isser. It's not a case where we say Yedech and Misurin. Why you believed in those cases? Not because of Yedech and Misurin, but because of Biyado. Okay, let's look at the Shev Shmeitza. Uvmarik Shosh, I make it of Gabi Mamon Shaiach Shalo, Vadim Neman Al Shalo, Ben Lister Ben Leheter. Here we go. The Marik is thinking like in a Rush type way. What did the Rush say? The believability of the other is because you are the Balim. What's the claim now? That only makes sense in the context of money. Money, it matters who is the Balim. Avo Gabi Tfilat Nida. But when Nida is testimony, she started, that's not about ownership because it's not a. Ownership is a category for the world of money, not for the world of Isser and Heter. Delevi Tam Elitam. Here comes the most important line of the day, guys. Mishim Kivin de Biadalit Bo. Notice he's going back to the rule of Biyado. She's in control. Nemo, she could go to the mikvah. Mahani ligroa cheskat iser shala. That's a great svar. What does Biyado do, guys? Biyado weakens the cheskat iser. What's the whole point of a chazaka? You assume the status quo stays. But if someone could easily manipulate the status quo, maybe at that point, you don't assume that. It stays. So maybe we have now a third track how Biyado works. Why does Biyado give you believability? What does biyado do? It weakens the cheska isur. Okay, let's go back, guys. If you get this, you'll make my whole day. Okay, let's see if I'm going to make my day here. How will that solve Tosfos's problem with Rashi? Tosfos said to Rashi, you can't use shechita or truma as the paradigm of eidech and isurin, because there, it's fighting with a cheska isur, and you only really believe because of biyado. Who could tell me why Rashi could, how Rashi could answer the question? That could still be the source for Eidecha Neman Bisur. Oh, let's see. Someone's going to make my day up. Isaac Solz, let's hear.
Truma, because the person can't, has the ability to tithe, they can change the chazaka.
And therefore? Why you believed ultimately?
What was that?
Why you ultimately believed?
Because they have the ability to change it. They can deny the chazaka.
Okay, we're getting warm, but not quite there. Okay. Yeah, sure. Rashi says Eidech Misurin comes from a case of Shechita. Tosfos says that can't be. Shechita is a case of Cheskat Isur. And Eidech Misurin doesn't beat Cheskat Isur. You only believe there because of an extraneous factor called Biyado. Right? According to the Sheikh Shmaitza, you could solve the problem. Okay, I'll hint it. I keep asking, we need a London. You got to save the day here. No? Yeah. You're London. What? That was funny, Rafi. Okay. Rafi, I have to shift your list, though. You're a list of the guy who makes like weird jokes that don't make sense. That one makes sense. Okay. Yes, it's a big day. You got it all down? Okay, so now, guys, Demi, can we get it? Who else is in the lobby here? Rav David, who's the Lumbish here? Who's the Lumbish guy? Dave Roth, can you figure it out? Okay, somebody's got to get it. I'm going to give you hints. What's the problem? We're thinking of biyado as a totally independent reason to be believed. Biyado could be independent reason to be believed for two theories so far, right? Either biyado is independent reason because every biyado is like amigo, this psychological evaluation of liars, or biyado is independent reason because you're the baalir. You have some kind of quasi-ownership, and you could determine the fate of the item. Maybe biyado... Jordan? Okay, Ben?
Well, I mean, if it's about being able to change it, you can't really change it.
Let's try this mathematical equation, guys. Why did Eidech and Bistur not work alone? Because it was going to be defeated by? Cheskid Isur. Someone fill in the blank now. I think Moshe's going to get it. But if Biyado does what?
But if it weakens the Cheskid Isur.
Excellent. According to the Svar, Biyado is not a reason to be believed independently. Biyado says that there isn't really a Cheskat Isur. So why you believe?
So one would
you revert back to Eidecha Neman Bisurin. Everyone see that? If all Biyado does, it says the status quo is not so strong, that's not a reason to be believed. That just cancels the Cheskat Isur. And then why am I believed? Because of Eidecha Neman. It's a good svar, right? So according to the Ktos, according to the Sheikh Shmaitza, Rashi has a great answer. Biyado was never an independent factor. Biyado was just saying there really isn't a cheskat isur. It's true the woman's status quo is she's an ida, but that's not a strong status quo. Why is that not a strong status quo? Because she has the easy ability to negate it. Oh, that's not a strong status quo? I.e., there's no cheskat isur. She's believed because of Eidech HaNeman Bisurin. Everyone got it? Okay, that's a little review of the shit. You guys did a great job. Aaron.
But isn't that based on like the owner?
No, it's not an ownership idea. Okay. It doesn't. We don't have to call you the quasi-owner. It's that the status quo is not firmly in place. Because some person could easily change it at a whim. Therefore, it's not a strong status quo. Okay, we're good? Derek, you got it? Isaac.
How does someone change the Cheskat Isur for
Shechita? No, the same thing. It's also biyado. You had the ability to check the animal.
Really?
What? You think it's not a good biyado there? That's an interesting question. So I'm not getting to it right now, but just food for thought, guys, no pun intended. You should ask the question whether biyado is I now have a biyado scenario or I once had a biyado scenario. And ask yourself, you can talk to me during lunch about it, how would it play out in the three theories? Does it have to be biyado right now or could it even be biyado last week? Okay, let's just review for 1 second, guys. Okay, three theories of biyado. What was our opening theory? And that's clearly biyado in that Gemara in Sanhedrin, the opening Gemara. Why does biyado give you believability? It is a form of migo. What would that mean? I'm believed because if I wanted to lie, I wouldn't have made the claim. I simply would have taken the cash and given it to the third party. So one theory is biyado is amigo. Excellent. The Rush claims biyado is not amigo. What's the Rush's theory? Biyado is a quasi-ownership. And that gives me the right to say what happened to the item. Excellent. Then we had a concept called Eidech and Embi Surin. We had a Rashi Tosfot debate. We'll go out of order here, guys. According to Tosfot, what's the source of Eidech and Embi Surin? Well, after all, the Torah believes. The Torah believes a woman about her nidah status. Eidech and Embi Surin. According to Rashi, what's the source of Eidech and Embi Surin? Life. We go to you in my house and you can eat my food. It must be that you're allowed to rely on my testimony about Shechita and Truma and the like. Excellent. What was Tosfot's critique of Rashi? That's not a good paradigmatic case because, after all, it's. By the way, notice Tosfos himself struggled. Themselves, I should say. Because Tosfos' Nida case is also a case of Cheskat Isur. Excellent. Third theory, Biyadu could be Migo. Biyadu could be Balut. What is the Shev Shmaitz of the Ketose, Rabbi Aryeh Heller? Biyadu weakens the Chazaka. Again, what's the whole point of a status quo? We don't know what happened. We assume things stay the way they are in life. But something that this person could so easily shift, that's not a strong status quo. So biyado is a neutralizer of chazaka. But if biyado neutralizes chazaka, biyado is not a reason to be believed. Biyado just clears the terrain so that Eidech and Bisurin can work. That solves the problem for Rashi and for Tosfot, by the way. How could these things be sources for Eidech and Bisurin? Answer, biyado clears away the debris of chazaka, and you revert back to Eidech and Bisurin. Any questions, guys? All right, excellent job. Everybody enjoy lunch. Yeah.